Tonight we're going to do Psalm 23. I'd like to try to focus attention of God's sovereignty in 23. Most people are very familiar with this passage. Even non-Christians kind of like it. It's just that good a work. There's nothing about this that will be unfamiliar to anybody. But if we look at it from the point of a sovereign God that is involved in everything here, I think you get another flavor that maybe a lot of times you don't pick up on, especially if you have the habit, as I have often had, of speed reading the Bible. You never want to do that. That's never a good idea. I was thinking of an example of how you can miss things by speed reading things, and the idea had come to mind that the color orange is something we can all associate it with. You know, from the time you're a small child, that orange is made by taking red and yellow and mixing it together. So even though you're looking at the color orange, you're actually looking at red and yellow too, but unless you stop to think about it, you don't realize what you're actually looking at. Mm-hmm. That's why I'd like to talk on sovereignty in Psalm 23 and consider that as we slowly go through the psalm. Remember that an important factor in sovereignty is the degree of absoluteness. There's no such thing as partial sovereignty as much as there is, like, there's no such thing as partial grace either. Once you leave grace, you're going into works. Sovereignty is all or nothing. It is absolute. And a sovereign God has absolute sovereignty. He has the unlimited right to control everything and every kind of activity. That's all over the scripture. We've heard Jim preach on this many times. We don't need to go into details and review of all that. But keep that in mind as we plow into Psalm 23 now. The first part talks about the shepherd's provision for his flock. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Right away in the very first two words, he goes to the Lord. And this is, of course, God speaking through the psalmist David. And God decides that he puts himself front and center. And that is sovereign, saying, "I'm the one that's starting this. This is about me." And he's doing this right in the first two words. And one of the words is "the." So he's getting straight to the point. And he talks about the Lord is my shepherd. In this case, we're not talking about a shepherd or the shepherd or a very good shepherd. This is a very personal thing. And when a Christian can read this, you can look and see that the Lord is my shepherd. This is a almighty God, a God that is sovereign, a God that is eternal, that is looking over me, and he is my shepherd. And every sheep needs a shepherd. If you have no shepherd and you're a sheep, life is probably pretty short. You're going to turn into somebody's food pretty quick. "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That gets into contentment. And isn't that a central point of the Bible? I've talked to people about contentment, and it's amazing how they can be going to church for such a long time, and I don't see contentment in them. They get so fired up and anxious over things. But yet it says right here, it says, "I shall not want." That's not the easiest thing to do, and that's certainly not something that we do, but we depend on a sovereign God to take care of us as our shepherd, and our shepherd looks after us. Let's go to Luke 12 and watch him address that same concept of "I shall not want." This is Luke 12. We'll start at verse 22. This is Jesus speaking. "And he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life. If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. That's Luke talking about, I shall not want, that God, your shepherd, will take care of you. And what better shepherd can we have than an almighty sovereign God who is very much in control and knows what you need? Let's continue on verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I looked in the concordance for the word lead, and I found out that the word used for leads in verse 2 is a little different from the word used in verse 3, where he talks about he leads me in paths of righteousness. In verse 2, it talks about he leads me beside still waters. That's a very calming vision. Again, this leads you away from anxiousness and more towards contentment. And the lead that he speaks of here in the Hebrew tongue is much like you would lead a small child, say in a parking lot. You would hold the child and walk calmly. The child might be looking around at various things, not even being aware that he's being led. I used to do this with my daughter back when she was 2, and it was tremendous fun because being 2 years old, she'd have to reach up to me like that. And I would take her through the parking lot and she'd look around, and if there happened to have been a rain or something like that, she just adored jumping on the little puddles of water. And all the while, Dad's hanging on to her, and she's going step, step, splash, step, 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 splash, all the way into the market. But I was taking care of her. I had her by the hand, and I was leading her. And that's the kind of leading we're referring to here when he leads me beside still waters. It's a calming lead. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, this is the lead that's a little different word. This is a much more forceful lead. If you can imagine leading animals, they sometimes need to be more forcefully led, take somewhere. And to continue with the analogy of my daughter, just imagine that we get out of the car and it is raining. And I particularly don't like to get drenched before going into the market. So I'd scoop her up, cover her with my jacket, and I would start jogging, all the while looking to make sure I didn't run into anything in the parking lot. But she has been scooped up, she's protected, and I'm leading her into the market. That's the forceful lead that it refers to here. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I'm going to suspect that the reason why he took a more forceful word for leading me in paths of righteousness is because that's just not your nature anyway. And you need to be led or driven or however towards righteousness. Whereas the idea of being led beside still waters, most of us don't need to be talked into that. But when it comes to leading me in the paths of righteousness, sometimes the Heavenly Father, a sovereign, almighty Heavenly Father, just has to scoop you up and say, you're coming with me. Indeed it is. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7. Verse 15. We're going to see living water and the springs referred to here. We'll read Revelation chapter 7, 15 through 17. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. That kind of comes back to the shelter of the coat with my daughter analogy. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there we see Psalm 23 reflected in Revelation 7. These first three verses are examples of physical necessities being taken care of. We see God leading us to green pastures, to still waters. These are well taken care of, physical necessities taken care of. And the next one's when he restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness. These are the spiritual necessities. And again, a sovereign God takes care of that for us as our shepherd leading his sheep. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Look at the contrast in that. He talks about the valley of the shadow of death. Pretty gloomy picture right there. And then goes right away to, I will fear no evil. What a jolt. That's the shepherd taking care of you. And you can do that because you are looking to the shepherd and he is taking care of you in his sovereign way. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Amen. That's why I will fear no evil, not because I've become stronger myself or because I think I can handle it. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was used by the shepherd to fight off animals that might give the sheep trouble. You could just beat them off with the rod and knock them away. The staff was something that was used to guide the sheep. Typically, it had a big hook on the end, a kind of a C shape. And if you had to put it around the leg or the neck of a sheep, you could just kind of steer him this way, steer him that. And that is guiding. And the amazing thing is, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, I can see the rod comforting you because, after all, you're being protected from evil. That makes perfect sense. But how many of us are comforted by being told where to go and what to do, even at the end of a staff hooked around your neck? That doesn't come easy. And yet here we have your rod and your staff, the staff that guides me, they comfort me. That says a lot. That talks about the shepherd's protection for us. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Let's look at another passage that follows on that. This is let's go to 2 Timothy. It will talk about the goodness and mercy. Chapter 4. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That is, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The Lord will take care of you. The final passage in verse 6, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go to John 14 and see the forever mentioned by John. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. In that particular case, Jesus is equating himself with the Father, talking about, if you know me, you know the Father. Experience a life of contentment and confidence when Jesus is the object of your faith. Contentment is something to look for, just as you can look at the color orange and try to see the red and the yellow. You look at the Bible and you can see contentment in many passages. You can see God's sovereignty in many passages. Always go slowly through the Bible. I've done the speed reading. It does not work. David declares Psalm 23 when he writes it. He writes it as an old man. And he talks to his God who has served him all that time. Basically saying, if I have you, I need nothing else. After all, God rescued David. The shepherd means everything to his sheep. Everything to his sheep. The sheep are lost without him. And we are certainly sheep. And how many times have we been lost? Thank God he's brought us to the Word now, but still every once in a while, we'll stumble into the spiritual furniture and get a little lost ourselves. And we need that staff to come out and go this direction over here and get pulled in the right way. And that's Psalm 23. God's sovereignty is all over it. It's an almighty God who is our shepherd and takes care of us. That's what I have to say for tonight.
Good job. I never thought about the Psalm 23 Psalm in the ways that you taught.
Yeah. Well, Jim has talked about it many times, about pulling sovereignty in various portions, and he'll stop and say, now reflect on it this way. Mm-hmm. And as I was going through it, I was considering doing it, mm-hmm. and then I just saw it from a sovereign God standpoint. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't we want a shepherd taking care of us who is sovereign, in control, almighty? What better shepherd could we have?